2011 with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics. Hello and welcome to the 94th episode of Robots, which is our last episode for 2011. I'm Jana, and today we will take a look back at the year 2011 and the robots and technologies that marked this year. So let's take a look at our 2011 top 10 in robotics, starting with Sabine, who reviews industrial robots, cloud robotics, soft robotics, and service robots.
While industrial robots have been around for a long time, this year was different as big names opened their market to service robotics. So instead of the big, bulky robots pre-programmed to assemble your car, we saw compliant, mobile robots with soft grippers that are more user-friendly, adaptable, and safe. So let's start from the toes up with KUKA, who's been showcasing a mobile base for its industrial robots that uses omni-wheels, and this gives it a lot of flexibility to move around the office floor when we're used to actually having robot arms, you know, fixed on the spot. Now, if we go up to the arms, it sounds like the word in everyone's mouth this year was compliance. I'm sure you all remember the lightweight arm from Fraunhofer IPA and Festo that looks like an elephant trunk, and it's made of 3D printed plastic, which makes it a very nice lightweight robot. Iris this year also saw its lot of compliant arms from major robot companies such as KUKA, and also new players in the field such as BioRob, that has a really nice, small, sleek robot arm that uses tendon technology, so it has some type of artificial tendons. In addition to compliance, companies such as Schunk have been looking at how to make their robots more modular, with a series of specialized modules that can be put together in different ways. And finally, grippers have gotten either more dexterous with advances in anthropomorphic robot hands from Shadow Robot, Schunk, and Robotic, or softer. You might remember our coverage of a soft gripper published in PNAS that could grip one or multiple objects of any shape by using jamming technology. And the idea was that a balloon filled with coffee presses onto an object, and then air gets sucked out of the balloon, leaving the coffee grains tightly packed around the object that can then be manipulated. And it looks like Adept and other companies are now going into this direction of using soft grippers to make robots that are more adaptable and don't require precise positioning anymore. Cloud robotics also seems to be a hot topic this year. As robots rely more and more on information about their world to complete tasks in human environments, there's a realization that this information needs to be shared somehow. One of the first efforts in this direction started last year with RoboEarth, a European project that aims to create a worldwide web for robots, or stated otherwise, a giant network and database repository where robots can share information and learn from each other about their behavior and environment. Sharing resources has also become mainstream with operating systems such as ROS, widely adopted sensors such as the Kinect, and smartphones and tablets that open up possibilities such as robotic app stores. With all this happening, I joked at a presentation earlier this year that robots would soon be tweeting. And it turns out that the Automaton blog just recently reported about a social network and cloud communication system for robots and household objects called myrobots.com. Robots would be able to update their status, just like we do on Facebook, but with useful information such as, I'm almost out of batteries. We already mentioned the use of soft robotics in industrial applications with the soft robotic grippers, but the notion of soft robotics has really been omnipresent in all of robotics this year. The main idea is that if you have a smart, compliant material, then you only need simple actuation to get complex motions. And one of the leaders in this field, George Whitesides from Harvard, recently published a paper in PNAS about a multi-gate soft robot made exclusively of soft materials and inspired by animals such as squid, starfish, or worms. He uses soft lithography to fabricate a pneumatically actuated robot capable of four-legged locomotion, and it doesn't need sensors, it only has five actuators, and a simple pneumatic valving system that operates at low pressure. and using the system, he can create a combination of crawling and undulating gates that allow the robot to navigate a difficult obstacle. He also created another robot that follows exactly the same principles and can actually be used to grip difficult things such as eggs and lift them off the floor. With the advent of better sensors, cloud robotics, smart devices, language recognition and compliance, often safe actuators and manipulators, service robotics is finally becoming more palpable. The proof with a large number of demonstrations this year of robots, such as the PR2 from Rillo Garage, doing household tasks such as cooking. The manipulation problem aside, telepresence robots have made a huge entrance in the robotics market, with several companies launching their own robotic avatar, including Rillo Garage, Gustai, AnyBots, and VGO Communications.
Other exciting new advances were made in the areas of quadrators and autonomous cars, which are summarized by Amanda.
This year we've seen a surge of work in the domain of flying vehicles. Northrop Grumman made a major step towards autonomous aerial refueling between two UAVs, two aircrafts, the manned high-altitude Proteus and one of NASA's RQ-4 Global Hawk, simulated refueling maneuvers while flying at 13,000 meters altitude. The two aircrafts came as close as about 10 meters distance. The company Priora launched the Maverick, a next-generation platform for mini and micro unmanned aerial vehicle system applications. Maverick's bendable wings allow for the ability to store a fully assembled airframe in a 6-inch tube. There have been a series of great videos coming out of the flying machine arena at the Swiss Federal Institute of Technology in Zurich, Switzerland. The methods use vital components such as the state-of-the-art Vicon motion capture system and the Kinect sensor. One example included two quadrocopters juggling a small ball. Another cool video shows quadrocopters placing hundreds of bricks to form a high tower. In the same line of work, Penn State University in the USA produced a number of fascinating results with multiple quadrotors. One of their most impressive videos shows a team of quadrotors cooperating on a construction project. Scientists at the Federal Institute of Technology in Lausanne, Switzerland, together with startup company SenseFly, have developed a network of unmanned aerial vehicles designed to flock like birds in a coordinated effort to gather visual information from the sky with the ultimate goal of producing accurate three-dimensional maps. Although research on autonomous cars has been going on since quite a while already, 2011 was a year of steady media focus, which is also largely due to Google's announcement of their self-driving car more than a year ago. The authorization of autonomous vehicles in the US state of Nevada presented a major breakthrough for the first steps of this technology. Very recently, Google also patented a method for transitioning a mixed-mode autonomous vehicle from a human-driven mode to an autonomously driven mode. Researchers from the Free University of Berlin announced that their car, made in Germany, traveled a total of 80 kilometers autonomously during a test drive. The vehicle was shown in full Berlin traffic and covered 20 kilometers back and forth between the International Congress Center and the Brandenburg Gate four times without any incidents. As a part of the Blind Driver Challenge, a blind man drove a Ford Escape Hybrid SUV on 2 kilometers of the famed course during a three-day Rolex 24 race extravaganza, which was a result of research led by a team of scientists at Virginia Tech. The temporary autopilot, or TAP, initiated by Volkswagen, allows cars to drive semi-autonomously at speeds of up to 130 kilometers per hour. The autopilot was developed as a part of the EU research project HAVIT, Highly Automated Vehicles for Intelligent Transport, and works by bundling other driver assistance systems such as ACC, Adaptive Cruise Control, and Lane Assist, lane keeping systems, into one comprehensive function. Finally, 2011 has seen the first demonstration of vehicle platooning, carried out by the team of EU researchers working on the SARTER project, which stands for Safe Road Trains for the Environment. Platooning is considered a promising new way of traveling on highways, and the SARTER project has carried out the first successful demonstration of its technology at the Volvo Proving Ground close to Gothenburg in Sweden.
Next, our reporter Priscilla looks at this year's developments in agricultural and bio-inspired robots.
Agriculture has been getting some pretty cool robots as well. Some of the agriculture robots spoken on the podcast were Prospero, an autonomous microplanter designed for a contest sponsored by Smartboard. We also had some really interesting buyer-inspired robots this year. There was the Hummingbird robot made by the U.S. company AeroVironment, Inc. It achieved control precision hovering and fast forward flight of a two-winged, flapping-wing aircraft that carries its own energy source and uses only the flapping wings for propulsion and control. We also saw the Smartbird by Festo. It is a flying robot that shares the same principles of operations as birds, or more precisely, the herring gull. It is lightweight and can reproduce very accurately the flight of a bird, even though it uses only a single electric motor and four servos. The Centipede Miller robot is a many-legged robot from Harvard that has flexibility and has potentially large leg count, which increases speed, robustness, and stability while helping the robot adapt to difficult terrain or climb. The latest version of the robot has 20 legs and insect-like body undulations.
And last, but definitely not least, let's look at the progress made in human-like walkers and the kilobots with Pear.
This year has seen fantastic progress in bipedal walking within robotics. Robots now walk much more like you and I do, heel to toe and with stretched knees. Petman now shows you that we can even push him and he doesn't fall over, and he can even do some reasonably advanced gymnastic moves. Honda's Asimo also shows great progress, increasing his walking speed from 6 km an hour to 9 km an hour. He also learns how to stand on one leg and walk on uneven terrain. I'm also impressed by the very smooth heel-to-toe walking of the Min HRP-4C from AIST in Japan. It's also exciting to see that this progress will likely continue. Recently, I had the pleasure of speaking to Professor Subramanian Ramamurthy for an upcoming podcast episode. He said that the recent progress came from a combination of research in bipedal walking done over a long period of time and from a confluence of different research areas, each accelerating each other's progress. Another area that has shown great progress over the last year is swarm robotics, and especially the Kilobots project by Michael Rubenstein and Professor Radhika Nagpal at SSR Lab at Harvard. As far as I understand, they're really close to finishing 1024 robots, or a kilobyte of robots, which is a terribly exciting project, which is verifying important algorithms for self-reconfiguring modular robotics, as well as pushing swarm robotics into larger and larger number of robots. 1024 robots is, as far as I know, by far the biggest number of robots ever used in one application. They are solving many problems unique to a project containing that many robots, and they're also discovering many new and interesting topics for research when it comes to organizing a large amount of robots, which of course is essential for self-reconfiguring modular robotics, where we aim to control thousands and tens of thousands or millions of robots. It's also interesting to see that they've been able to commercialize it and that the Kilobot robot now is available commercially so that anybody can test and try it out. For me as a self-reconfiguring modular robotics geek, it's also interesting to see that some commercial activities is going on here. Barubu Inc. is offering the iMobot, and this should make it significantly easier for anyone starting out with modular robotics.
And that was our last episode for 2011. It's been a pretty exciting year in robotics. As a reminder, we've created a playlist of this year's very best robotics videos, which you can find on our website at www.robotspodcast.com/best of 2011. Also on our website, you can find this year's Christmas videos submitted by robotics researchers around the world. To give you an idea of this year's submissions, they include an instrumental cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You, played by an orchestra of robots, and a video of something that looks suspiciously like a robotic Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer delivering presents to Santa. To see all of this year's videos, just go to robotspodcast.com/Christmas. The team behind the Robots Podcast wishes you all a great start to 2012. 2011 with Robots, the podcast for news and views on robotics.